Okay, tonight is Monday night, April 28th, or 24th day of the month of Nisan. And this is the Gemara Shir, Masechta Sukkah, Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis. Okay, Rabotai, we're up to the Mishnah on Chav Vav Amud Beis. But in order to appreciate the Mishnah itself, we just have to take a glance to refresh our minds of the last line of the Mishnah on Chav Hei Amud Aleph, because these two Mishnayot are actually connected to one another. The last line of the Mishnah on Chaf Hei Amud Aleph says, Ochlin v'shosin aro'i chutz l'sukkah, that you are allowed to eat a snack out of the sukkah. We had already seen two opinions of what constitutes a snack. If you look now on Daf Chaf Vav Amud Aleph, just for a second, about two-thirds of the way down, the Gemara asks where it says, Achi ochlin achilas aroi chutz l'sukkah. The Gemara asks, V'kama achilas aroi. Omer Rav Yosef, Tarti otlas be'i. It means two or three mouthfuls. It's basically what it is. You should put something in your mouth two or three times. Yeah, two or three spoonfuls. And then Abaye said, Abaye, two, three bites, that's already a meal. What is it? It's the amount of food that Rav would be to'aim before he went to a shear, because he was afraid that the shear was going to drag on a little too long. So it was one, how much was it? Melo piv. He would fill his mouth with some food and eat and drink. That's the amount. Okay? And all of this is based on simply that ochlin v'shosin ara'i chutz l'sukkah. Now the Mishnah is going to quote two stories which seemingly contradict this Mishnah. Ma'aseh v'heviu lo l'Rab Yochanan ben Zakkai lit'ol mishatavshil. So once upon a time, somebody brought Rab Yochanan ben Zakkai lit'ol mishatavshil. Tavshil is a regular cooked item which probably had grain in it. And he was asked to taste it, to'aim, just to be ta'im. Ula Ram Gamliel, once upon a time somebody brought Ram Gamliel, Shnei Kosavot, two dates, Udali Shelmayim, and a bucket of water, the Amru, and what did they both say? He'elum L'sukkah. Please bring this food up to the sukkah, and I'll eat it there. Ukishinasnolo L'Rabbi Tzadok, when something was given to Rabbi Tzadok, Ochel pachos mikabeitza. If you eat less than a kabeitza, so he ate less than a kabeitza. So three things happened as a result of the fact that he ate less than a kabeitza. Not lo bimapa. He had bread, but he didn't wash. He held it with a napkin, and that Rashi will say is only mishum nikiyut, because his hands may have been a little dirty. But you don't have to wash netilat yadayim for bread if you are eating less than a kibetza. And the achlo chutz l'sukkah, and he ate it out of the sukkah. And three, v'lo beirech acharav, he did not recite a bracha achroina. So the Mishnah quotes two tanaim who were given seemingly small quantities of food, which perhaps should be identified as achilas aroi, and they were makbid to go into the sukkah. And Rabbi Elazar Reb Tzadok felt that the line, the demarcation line, is exactly kibetza. So he ate less than a kibetza, which now has three consequences. One, you don't have to wash netilas yadayim. Two, you don't have to make a bracha achroina. Three, you don't have to eat in the sukkah. That's what the Mishnah says. So let's just take a look at Rashi for a second. Because Rashi just explains one thing, two things actually. Rashi says, Ochel pachas mikabetza, ma'achal pachas mikabetza. I'm not exactly sure what Rashi is, what's bothering Rashi. Like, I want to figure that out. He ate something that was less than a kibbetzah. Yeah? I don't think we're talking about payrolls here.
What?
I don't think we're talking about payrolls. Because we're going to, Rashi's going to bring it in a second, the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, whether you have to bench on a kezias or a kebetza, and there would be no, what the machlokes would be irrelevant if he was eating fruit.
Fruit and vegetables.
Eating fruit. Apparently he was eating bread. Let's see the next Rashi. Not lo b'mapa. Lo natal yadav, ela, he did not wash his hands. Ela korach b'mapa yadav, he wrapped a handkerchief around his hands. Mishum nekiyas. Only because his hands may have been dirty. No, not tumatara, because he just said you don't need nefilas yadayim. So obviously the tumah aspect is not it. Because the Netilas Yadayim is to remove the tumah, and he said you don't need it. The kasavar pachos mikabetza lo boi Netilas Yadayim v'lo boi sukkah, and it doesn't require sukkah v'lo boi birchas hamazon le'achrov, and it does not require birchas hamazon following it. Didorash ki Rabbi Yehuda. Because the Gemara, he apparently interpreted the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda, who says, "V'achalta v'savata uveirachta, achila sheyesh ba kidei sviya." How much must you eat in order to be chayev to bench, to be full? V'hainu kibetza. That's kibetza. That's of course midrabbana. Because midoraisa kidei sviya means, literally to be full. Kibetza is not a sheer doraisa. The machlokes between Rabbi Meir and midrabbanan is midrabbanan. How much am Yisrael v'machmir? How much are you obligated to eat midrabbanan to be chayiv in berachas hamazon? Because midoraisa you're only chayiv until you eat literally kidei sviya. But the bracha rishona, before you consume, that has nothing to do with shir. Any minute amount requires a bracha, shahare nene, because you're deriving pleasure and benefit. You're not permitted to derive any benefit from this world without a bracha. So therefore, shir is not relevant to the discussion of how much you eat. It is, to bracha lefaneha. The discussion only revolves around bracha la'achreha. Yeah.
In the case of bracha, does it make a difference with the size of the portion that was put in front of him versus the size of the portion that he actually consumed? Because if you're koveya seruda on a large piece, that's what's put in front of you.
You're asking, you asked me what's running through his mind?
No,
or what does it make? Did Rabbi Tzadok know how much he was going to eat, or is this a last-minute decision?
He doesn't know. So my point is, maybe that's the point that Rashi was trying to make, and they brought him the food.
Are you saying that's what Rashi is saying, Machal Pachas Kibetza? And it wasn't that they brought him out and he changed his mind? Okay. Not saying no. Could be. Now, just as a parenthetical remark, but it's a beautiful thought nonetheless, this machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, the Gemara in Brachos and Avchaf Amidbeis has a beautiful Ma'amar Chazal. The Umos HaOlam come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a complaint and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are unfair. Why? You're a hypocrite. Because you write that you describe one of your attributes is Asher lo yisa panim velo yikach shochad. You don't show any favoritism, nor do you accept any bribes. Yet, what does it say? We said this during Berachos Kohanim. Yisa Hashem panav elecha. Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to show face. He's going to show your face, his face to you. In other words, he's going to play favorites. What are you playing favorites for? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response was, my children, Am Yisrael, they know that the halacha is that in order to be chayv in Berachos HaMazon mid the Oraisa, you have to eat Kedei Sriya. V'hein midaktikin al atzman kizayis ukebeitza. And they're careful to what? To make Berachos HaMazon either according to Rabbi Meir if you eat a kizayis, or according to Rabbi Yehuda if you eat a kebeitza. V'lo etzapanim lahem. And I shouldn't show favorites to this. End of Gemara. So the Rav once asked, that's the only thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could identify why he should be show no say funim li Yisrael, because they took on this chumrah that they had decided to eat to make Berachos HaMazon on a kezayis or kebeitza. That's the whole idea. So he said beautifully, if you look at the text in Parshas Ekev, which describes the mitzvah of Berachos HaMazon, you have to read the psukim that immediately precede the pasuk of the Achalta v'Savato v'Erachta. The pasuk reads as follows. The pasuk reads, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring us into Eretz Yisrael, and here's what this Eretz Yisrael is going to look like. Ki Hashem l'kacha mevi'acha el Eretz Tova, Eretz Nachalei Mayim. Ayanos Utsahomos, Yotzin Babiko Bahar, land flowing with water. Eretz Chita, Saora, Defen, Te'ena, Verimon, Eretz Zeshemon of the Vash. Eretz Ashelo Vimiskenus, Tokal Balecha. You're going to be eating bread, you're never going to have to count how much you have. You're going to have so much. Lo Techsar Koba, you will be missing absolutely nothing. Eretz asher avoneha barzel or meharer katzov nechoshes. You'll be mining copper and metals. You'll be multi-millionaires. Then be a chalt of a savato veirachta. Under those conditions, it's not difficult to what? To say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can eat and what? And you can really be full. Lo texar kolba. But when you only have one kizai, and none of this is being fulfilled, it's a little more difficult to recognize that you have an obligation to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu even under those circumstances. And yet, Am Yisrael amidatek ad kizayis arad kebeya. So because they have this appreciation that even though I set up the groundwork, the background, that there's going to be enormous prosperity, and then command them, they take the initiative, and even having a little kizayis, they recite Berachos HaMazon. For that, v'loyesa panai, for that I'm not going to show favors? That's the top interpretation of that Gemara. Okay. Now, Tosfos here has a lengthy discussion which has halacha lemaisa applications concerning the machloikis between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So it's a long taisis, but I want to do the first part of the taisis because he brings up an interesting case and subject to a machloikis between the Magen Avraham and Rab Chaim. Take a look at the taisis v'lo birech acharav. Sabalok Rabbi Yehuda, the Beperek Shloisha Sha'achlu, the Darash, the Achalta Vesavata Verachta, Shiesh Basriya, the Hainu Kibesa. Fine. That's exactly what Rashi said. The Rabbi Meir Polik. Rabbi Meir disagrees. He says you don't have to eat a kibesa in order to be chayv and Berachos HaMazon in the Rabbanan. All you have to eat is a kizayis. The Mevarchen the kizayis. V'nira says Taisus, halacha kavosei. I believe that the halacha is like Rabbi Meir, not like Rabbi Yehuda. Midamrinan b'kerek keitzam nevarchin, Amar Abchia Baraba, Ani ra'isiyis Rabbi Yochanan, she'ochal zayis maliach, u'birichol abchilu b'saif. That Rabbi Yochanan ate a zayis, a salted olive, and or zayis maliach, or a, he's interpreting it here as a zayis of something salty, and he made a bracha lefonel ula achreha. V'yod amrinin b'perek shloisha she'achlu, amar Rabbi Baraba Rabbi Yochanan, le'olam eni motzi rabim yedei chavasan ad she'yochal kizayis dagan. You, that if you want to participate in a zimun, the Gemara there is talking about an asara, you know, you can eat a little. But if you want to be mizamein, to lead the benching, you have to eat at least the kizayis of grain. Doesn't say a kibetz of grain, it says kizayis dagan. There, the chen amar av huna bar Yehuda mishmei derav. Fine. So therefore, Tosfos' impression is that in order, even though our Gemara seems to confirm Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, nonetheless, there are many sources that seem to support that the halacha is like Rabbi Meir against Rabbi Yehuda, that all you have to eat is a kizayis in order to be chayav and benching. Now Tosfos quotes an interesting Yerushalmi. Umitoicha Yerushalmi mashma, Dibibaria lo be'inin kizayis. So if you eat a whole item, you don't need a kizayis. You're looking at him because you did that in Chulin? Good, because there's a taisus. I hope you did that taisus also. But taisus makes an interesting chiluk. Dibibaria lo be'inin kizayis. The afilu preda achas shall anav, or preda achas shall rimon. If you eat one little grape, or one little pomegranate, to una bracha lifonel ula achareha. It requires what? A bracha lifonel ula achareha. So says the Yerushalmi. And it makes no difference to what the size is. As long as it's a beria, a whole item. Correct, has chashivos. And therefore it attains the status despite the fact that the shear happens to be missing. Now, Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi, but the Bavli doesn't record such a halacha, and therefore in Shulchan Aruch it's quoted as a suffix. If you look in Siman Reish Yud of Arachayim, the Mechaber is Misupak, as to whether or not you are obligated to recite Berachas HaMazon if you ate or Bracha LaAchreha, if you ate a beria, a whole item, if it was less than the requisite shear of a kizayis. It's a suffix. No, we don't know what he was eating. He was eating a piece of bread, not a whole item.
No, the
other guys were eating dates. It doesn't, so we don't know what he ate. Rav Gamliel ate dates. That's correct. Now, the Magen Avraham in Siman Gimel of that Seif says that this suffix, it applies not only to Berachas HaMazon, not only to Bracha Achas Me'ein Shalosh, but even to Barin Nefashos as well. And that if somebody ate one kidneyt, one little bean, that's a whole thing. You have to make Bari Nefashos to eat one little bean. That's what he writes. And Rav Chaim disagreed with him based on a Tosfos in Chulin on Daf Tzadik Vav Amar Aleph, B'Dibur HaMaschil Mai, where Tosfos discusses the following principle. Tosfos asks, if I have a nevela, right, and the nevela is a whole animal that's smaller than a kezias, and it died with not a kosher shechita, will I get malchus for eating that beria or not? So I ate a beria, a whole live animal. It died. It was a kosher animal, but it was very small. I don't know if there is such an animal that exists. And it died. And now the question is to get malchus for eating the vela. Taisa says you're not going to get malchus for eating the vela, for eating a barrier of the vela. That's what Taisa says. You don't get malchus for eating a barrier of the vela. And Rav Chaim explained this Taisus as saying as follows. When does the halacha of barrier, a whole item, take up the deficiency in the lack of size? If the halacha or the Torah identifies the item as a barrier. For example, what's the classic illustration of you eating macholos asuros, a less than a shear, but it was a barrier? Shrutzim. You eat a little ant, right, a little bug. The Torah identifies what you don't eat. It's a sheretz. It even identifies what are the shmoyne shrutzim. The chaltor and this one and that one, the mouse, whatever it is, right? The Torah lists them in Parsha Shmini. So when you identify something as a barrier, there said Rav Chaim, the halacha is that the barrier attains chashivus and complements the fact that the shear was not present. Nevela, the Torah doesn't formulate as an isur related to what? To a whole animal. What is the isur of nevela? On butzar. Psar nevela. And we don't identify that the isur of nevela is on a big an animal that died. It's you know, it's ubasar basar da trefa, and the next pasuk is called nevela utrefa lo sochelu. It's basar. So it just so happens, bimikre in this case, where what? Where the psar nevela happens to be a barrier, under those circumstances, claims Rav Chaim, that's what's running through Tosfos' mind, that the halach of barrier is insignificant at that time, and for this reason you don't get kezayis, if you don't eat a kezayis of nevela, you will not get malchus. Therefore, says Rav Chaim, I would disagree with the Magen Avraham. Why? When would I apply that the halacha of barrier for bracha achroina works? When you're dealing with the shivas haminim. Because when you're dealing with the shivas haminim, the Torah identifies them as a unique item. It's chita, it's seora, it's gefen, it's, you know, rimon and te'ena and so on and so forth. Zeshem rimonos. It's whatever the Torah identifies has a status as a barrier. Therefore, indeed, if you ate an anav, or a what, or a rimon, I'll go along with that. But for eating kitniot, a little bean or something, you know, that for that, I'm not going along with that, and claiming that the halach of beria would now compensate for the lack of shear for a bracha achroina. If it can't compensate for the lack of shear for Kezias of Nevela, based on this Svara. Maybe Rav Chaim's wrong, but based on this Svara, so therefore he disagreed with the Magen Avraham's extension of this to include less than a Kezias. However, I must add in all fairness, that the Trumas Hadeshen in Siman Reish Mem Hei raised this question possibility for the mitzvah of maror. If you ate one stalk of maror, which is a barrier, that's the way it grew, one stalk, but it was a very small one, it was not a kezayis. So under those circumstances, the Trumas Hadeshen raises the question based on this application. Now maror is not one of the shivas haminim. Right, romaine lettuce is not one of the shivas haminim. And nonetheless, the Trumas Hadeshen considered the possibility that you can be yotzei the mitzvah of maror by eating less than a kezayis of maror, simply if you manage to eat the whole stalk itself, like we often do. You take a whole leaf, take a whole stalk itself, that's all you would need. That's his question. So the Trumas Hadeshen obviously doesn't agree with Rav Chaim, and he's willing to apply this principle that barrier compensates for lack of shear, even something that is not one of the shivas haminim. Yes.
Is that the Rav Chaim's principle apply to other areas besides Achila, the bracha and Achila for a lot, let's say 200 tara. Now, in the cases where you have issues of 200 tara, you also have the idea of a complete unit. With
100%, Rav Chaim would say the same thing. That by nevela, in order to become tamei, you need it to be to be mid tamei, needs a kebetza. Rav Chaim will say that a barrier is not enough. Correct. It's not just a lach of bracha. It's kol atoyra kula. That's correct. Yeah. Let me get invited. Okay. Right. Why do you need b'chitz at all? Okay, that's a good question. That's why, as you well know, the Rambam says you have to eat kezayis. The Rambam says you have to eat it. Otherwise, there'd be no ruchat. Okay, but that's because he's adopting Rabbi Yehuda's position. Many Rishonim are passing like Rabbi Meir, that as soon as you eat a kezayis, you're entitled to have brach achroin already. No, brach. I understand. So then kezayis would be the same thing if you for Netilas Yadayim. If you're passing like Rabbi Meir, you'd be chayav for kezayis to wash your hands already.
No, you don't need a bracha before the tzaracha?
That might be. There are many explanations why our practice is not to make a bracha. Sure. It's a good question. It's a good point. Yeah. Well, I invite the Gemara. So I ask you to look at the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Hey, because now we can appreciate the Gemara's comment. Ma'aseh listar. Is it the practice of a Mishnah to state the halacha and then to quote stories that contradict it? Usually you quote a story to confirm the halacha. The halacha was, Oichlin vishosin aroi chutz l'sukkah. And now you call me two stories of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Gamliel, who decided to tell them they were eating pachas mikashir, and what? And they said, hey, bring it to the sukkah. Masel istar, says the Gemara, chsuvei mechser of ahachitani. Missing a couple of words. The halacha is what? Oichlin achila saroi chutz l'sukkah. Now you got to add the next words. Imbo lahachmir al atzmoi machmir. If you want to be machmir, that's perfectly okay. V'lespe mishum yuhara. And it's not considered as if you are boasting by virtue of the fact that you're running into the sukkah despite the fact that the halacha didn't demand that you do so. Umasenami veheviu l'Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lito misatapshil u'l'Rabbi Gamliel shnei kosavos v'do'ud lishomayim v'amru he'elum l'sukkah. So you see from here, so now in each case, this story is supporting the premise. What premise is it supporting? That even though al pidin you don't have to eat in the sukkah, if you choose to do so, you're allowed to do so, and you are not going to be held in contempt based on the fact that what? That it's mechzei kiyuhara. You look like you're bragging when you're doing something the halacha doesn't demand. Now, this question, if you believe that there is an so now comes the question, when is there an isur of being of mechzei kiyuhara? When does it apply? So there's a famous example of the Gemara in Maseches Brachos, where the Mishnah says that a chassan, we learned it a couple of weeks ago, chassan laila harishayna is patur from kriyashma. A chassan from the first night of, when he gets married, the night of his marriage, is exempt from the kriyashma. So Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said, I don't worry, I can read kriyashma. And the response to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel was, lo kol haro'ui lita les Hashem, lo kol harotze lita les Hashem, yitol. Not everybody who wants to be mekabel ol malchus shemayim should be doing so, Mr. Rav Shimon Gamliel. and they accused him of metze kiyuara. So many asked the question, what exactly is the dividing line in that Gemara where he was exempt and the rabbi, and he decided what? To say, I don't care about the exemption, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go ahead and what? Do it. And he was castigated by saying, you're a god, a balgaivanik. Mexicura looks like you're a balgaivanik. And in this case, they say it's okay, why don't we tell Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yechem Mitzak, we think a balgaiva? The halacha says you don't have to go into the sukkah. If you're eating pachas mekashir, why are you running into the sukkah?
And it doesn't have anything to do with doing it in public.
It's not doing public. Neither case has anything to do with anything to do in public. So there are several approaches to this question. Some claim quite a number of places. What? And what, every single bracha?
Not to bow too far.
Yeah, that's also says Maxi, you are right. I don't remember. I didn't do a search, but there are a couple of cases. I didn't check all of them. But there were several answers to try to establish a certain rule. One is that the only time when you have a Maxi Kiyuara is where there is something telling you not to do it. What does that mean? The Gemara in Brachos actually says, "Anan sahadei delo mechavne," that nobody can come along and say, "You know what? I can have kavana for Kabbalah Samachu Shemayim tonight." I can't. Why? There is an anan sahadei. What does that mean? Anan sahadei. What? We've established exactly. People know. Pukhazi. Everybody knows that night your mind is lying somewhere else. Not sitting on reading Kriya Shema. So where there is such a prevalent idea challenging you, and you claim that you're the exception to the rule, that's Mexico you are. In this case, there's nothing telling you, hey, you're not allowed to eat a sukkah if you eat less than a share. So that's not, you're exempt. If you want to go ahead and do so, that's perfectly okay. That's one answer.
Why would we think it applies in this case at all?
What?
So, black and white, why would we think it applies here? In order to tell if it doesn't apply.
Ah, that's a good question. Therefore, there are two other suggestions. The Maratz Chayus, right here, explains it based on the Gemara of Pesachim and Das Nun Hei Amid Aleph, where the Gemara says that on Tisha B'Av, there is a minhag not to work. Who established that minhag not to work? Talmidei Chachamim. There's no isur to work on Tisha B'Av. Talmidei Chachamim hayamonin es atzman mihamalacha. And the Gemara says that if everybody goes ahead and what? And doesn't do malacha, less stay mishum yuara. Nobody's going to accuse you of saying, I'm a Talmid Chacham. I'm a Talmud, because who are the ones who instituted the practice? Talmidei Chachamim. That will not be considered boasting, says the Gemara. So, so when is it? So, apparently, the Maratz Chayus says as follows, that if there is another way of interpreting your action, then it's okay. Over there, you know why the Gemara allows you to go ahead and not do Malach on Tisha B'Av? Because there are plenty of Kama batlane ika b'shuka. There are a lot of people, unfortunately, who are unemployed. So we could possibly say that the reason why you're not working on Tisha B'Av is not because you're making yourself into a tzaddik. Unfortunately, nobody hired you for today. You're unemployed. There are a lot of people who work who are not working on any given day. So since there is an opportunity to what? To say that what? That you are not looking to be a Balgaivanik, so under those circumstances we allow you to do it. So too here, in our case, what is the, in our case, if somebody is eating pachas with his eyes, so, you know, if somebody else sees you going to the sukkah, so what can he possibly think? He's eating more than a share. There's no guarantee that anybody's going to notice you being a Balgaivanik. How are you supposed to sit there and watch you eat? Oh, this guy is eating less than that because, you know, since it's easily interpretable that that you're eating more than the shear and it's not so evident that you're being such a balgaivanik under those circumstances, you can. But in the case of Kriya Shema, where again the halacha exempts you and claims that it's lack of, there you're being a balgaivanik. Third answer is in the name of the Gaon. The Gaon writes as follows, that here's the Gaon said, that even though the practice has become worldwide not to wear tefillin all day, somebody who chooses to wear tefillin today is not guilty of yuhara. Because the reason why we don't wear tefillin all day today, what's the reason why we don't wear tefillin all day? It's because we can't keep our minds focused on Kedushas tefillin. We're busy, you know, we're in business, engaged in business, and so on and so forth. So therefore, it's a concern. So if a guy wears tefillin today, he's trying to make a statement and say, you know what? You know, I can keep my mind focused. I'm not going to be Masiach Das. Why isn't that guilty of Yuhara? So the Gaon says, the only time that Yuhara applies is if something is not in and of itself a Kiyum HaMitzvah. Namely, the Gemara in Sachem, there's no mitzvah, no Isur Lav that you can't work on Tisha B'Av. It's a minig, which the Talmidei Chachamim started. Why did the Talmidei Chachamim start it? Because they understood what the significance of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash meant. So, but there's no one, you know, so if you're not working, you're not a big bachmer, not violating a lot, you're not being the kind of mitzvah. It's nice, I'm not saying it's not a bad idea, but it's not a mitzvah. But when your action entails the fulfillment of a mitzvah, nobody can accuse you of what? Of yuhara. Here too, says the Gaon, if I walk into a sukkah and do the following, I just sit for 2 hours. Am I the kind of mitzvah of sukkah teisha shivas yamin? Of course you are. Because what's the definition of the mitzvah? To live in the sukkah. So when you eat less than the shear, are you being the kind of mitzvah? Yes. Therefore, that's not you are. People ask on the dome, what about the case of Kriya Shema? What? He is being the kind of mitzvah in that circumstance. So therefore, he cites that the answer is, the Gemara says, Anan Sahadeh. You're not the kind of mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Why? Because we're telling you, you can't have Kavanah. The Halacha has already said, you can't have Kavanah. And if you can't have Kavanah, you're not the kind of mitzvah, Kriya Shema. And therefore, under those circumstances, it remains an action void of any religious significance. You're reading the words, but you're not being the kind of mitzvah, Kriya Shema. That's why the Gemara said. But if indeed there is a Kiyum HaMitzvah associated with your behavior, under those circumstances, you can never be held accused of being a Balgaivanik. Yes? So you're asking me about why the Gemara says that a mitzvah who eats mitzvah is nikra hedyot?
Yeah. The guy's coming down in his pajamas, he's wheezing, he's coughing.
Right.
There's no way that you can interpret it, you know, like, I'm macho, I'm coming down. It don't bother. Well, everybody knows what you're catching. Right? People are back up in bed. You might, you know, the point of the Marcia, he would say that's connected to you.
Maybe. Hey.
You're
Mekhaim HaMitzvah? Okay. Maybe yes. Maybe that might be a case of
difference.
We'll get to that a little later. We will get to that a little. No. No one has ever said that. The only time that someone has said that if you're exempt, you're not Mekhaim HaMitzvah is the Gaon who claims if you sit during when it's raining. Remember? Because the Gaon said if it's raining, it's not a sukkah. If it's not a sukkah, you're really a moron. Why are you sitting and getting wet? For what? And you're not even mekayem a mitzvah. So the Gaon said that by rain. He did not say that by mistan. But so maybe that's a good point. That might be a good difference. Lamagain Viter. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Gamliel were makbetit in the sukkah. Ukishinat, top line in Chavzayin Amar Al. Ukishinas nuloy le Rabbi Tzadok, ochel pachos mekebeta. And not lo b'macha, v'och lo chutz le sukkah, v'lo birech acharav. Says the Gemara, inference. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Tzadok rather, was makbid to eat less than a kezayis. Inference, less than a kebeta. Inference, ha kebeta by sukkah. Apparently, if you eat exactly a kebeta, you must eat it in the sukkah. Lema to have it yufta de Rabbi Yosef Abaye. Let us say that what? That this is a question against Rabbi Yosef and Abaye, because Rabbi Yosef said tre tlas o tlas a be'e, which are two or three eggs worth, because that's how much you can put in your mouth. A kebetza you can put in into your mouth at one time, since you can eat two or three. And Abaye said also a kebetza worth, that's how much Rav ate before what? Before the shear. And they both defined that as achilas arai. So let us assume that Rabbi Tzadok is against both Abaye and Rabbi Yosef. And as Amoraic sages, they could not challenge Rabbi Tzadok, who's a Tana, who claims up to a kebetza is considered achilas aroi, but exactly a kebetza and more is considered achilas keva. Answers the Gemara, no. Gemara retracts. Dilma, pachos me kebetza, netila ubracha lo boy. Ha kebeitza, boy netila ubracha. What the Gemara does is, it splits it. Two-thirds, you're 100% right. One-third, you're not right. Two-thirds, the inference is correct. That for birchas hamazon, as soon as you eat what? Of a kebeitza, you have to bench. For netilas yadayim, as soon as you eat a kebeitza, you have to wash. But for sukkah, I didn't mean that. You don't really have to go into the sukkah. Well, how much do you have to eat to go into the sukkah? You have to eat a little more than a kebetza. You have to eat how much Rabbi Yosef suggested, either at least a kebetza or perhaps even more, according to Rabbi Yosef. But the point being, the Gemara deflects the question from Rabbi Yosef and Abaye to Rabbi Tzadok by claiming that Rabbi Tzadok never intended to communicate his halacha or the inference vis-a-vis sukkah only in relationship to Netilas Yadayim and Bracha. And bracha.
Yeah. So it's impossible to get Rabbi Tzadok, right?
In relationship to what?
In terms of the relationship of that he's the, that you're allowed to eat up to a kebetza out of the sukkah.
Yes.
So why is this master brought less? Is there any significance to the order of these masters?
Well, no. I don't know. No.
Bring the other two. Just to show about Mexico.
No, the other, yeah. That's according to the Mishnah, yes, that it's not Nechzik Yeruah, despite the fact that you didn't have to under those circumstances. Yeah.
You want to put them like this in any particular reason?
I'm not sure. I don't know. Don't know. Now, Tosis, take a look at the Tosis, Habika Beitza Boy Nefilas Yadayim Lachila. Now, Tosis is aware of this trick. It's not a trick. You're on it every year. This happens when you're a counselor in a camp, right? You're on your Thursday hike, and you've got your peanut butter and jelly sandwich in your knapsack, and there's no place to wash. So what do the people tell you? Just wrap it around the sandwich bag and just hold it and don't wash. Okay? So Tosis says, V'lo mishterei b'mapa. If you eat what? More than a kebetza, we are not going to allow you to rely on the what? On wrapping a handkerchief around the sandwich. The chayshinan dilma noga. Because what are we, we're afraid of that what? That you might touch the bread. And as a result, we're not going to allow you to take advantage of this at all. Umiyu tema. Rabbi Tzadok Kohen Haya. We know that Rabbi Tzadok was a Kohen. Kedifrishis. V'imkein afilu kibetza shari b'mapa below netilas yadayim. K'da'amar Shmuel Hassam heitiru mapa la'ochle truma v'lo hitiru mapa la'ochle taharos. Because the Gemara in Chulin says that they allowed what? They allowed a mapa for ochle truma, but they did not allow a mapa for ochle taharos. What does ochle taharos mean? It meaning us who are eating chulin, who are not so taharos hakodesh. What does it mean? A kohen who is generally careful not to eat, not to be mitameh. So when he puts the handkerchief around his bread, we are pretty certain that what? That he's not going to touch it. But us Yisraelim, who generally are not terribly careful about being mitameh things, so in this situation, when we wrap a handkerchief around the bread, we're not going to be terribly careful, and as a result, we're not going to be able to take advantage of it. So Rabbi Sado happens to have been a Kohen. So, if Rabbi, and he, the way Tosfos interprets Shmuel is not so much what you're eating, it's who you are. Oichle truma. Somebody who eats truma has a right to rely on the mapa even if he's not eating truma. Because he's nizar in general when he eats truma. Now, Rabbi Tzadok was a Kohen. So, how does our Gemara come to the conclusion that had it been a kibetza worth, what would have Rabbi Tzadok done? He would have washed and not simply had a mapa around his hands. What do you mean? Rabbi Tzadok was a Kohen. Once he was a Kohen, even if it was larger than a kibetza, as long as you have the mapa around, not touching the bread itself, Rabbi Tzadok as a Kohen wouldn't have to worry about it, and he would not have to wash. So Tosfos asks, what's the hechrech to prove that in this case, if it was more than a kibetza, you would have to wash? Maybe he wouldn't have washed because he's not a Kohen, because he is a Kohen. Yeah.
Was that distinction between Kohanim and non-Kohanim? Did that remain after the Korban Bayis? Because you would think that the reason of the distinction is because at that time...
Because they were Nizhar. Correct. I don't think today it makes it... That's correct. I don't ever recall seeing that a little kid on a hike, oh, you're a guy, you can rely on it. I don't ever remember seeing that. I don't know. I don't know. No, Rav Tzadok was probably after the Mishnah. I don't know. It's a good point. It's a good point. I don't know. Yeah. Don't know. It was Rav Tzadok? Don't know. Yeah. Okay, let's start the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah will further help clarify what exactly the mitzvah of eating in the sukkah is and how to fulfill the mitzvah of Basukkah's Teisha Shivas Yamin. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Arba Esrei Se'udot Chayav Adam Le'achol B'sukkah. Achas bayom v'achas balayla. Rabbi Lezer says you must eat 14 meals minimum in the sukkah throughout the yontiv of sukkahs. Twice a day, once in the morning, and once at night. Tachachamim oimrim ein ledover kitzvah. And when Rabbi Lezer says you have to eat a suda, it means you have to wash and eat bread 14 times during the yontiv of sukkahs. Tachachamim oimrim ein ledover kitzvah. There is no set number, no minimum requirements. Chutz milele yit yom tov rishon shel chag b'lvav. The only time that you have to eat in the sukkah is the first night of sukkahs. And that we learn out is a Hekesh Tesvav Tesvav. We compare the 15th day of the month of Tishrei to the 15th day of the month of Nisan. Just as the 15th month of Nisan, there is 6 days of Rishus and 1 day of Chova, based on the fact that most Psukim write Shivas Yomim Matzos Tochelu. One Pasuk it says Sheshis Yomim Tochal Matzot. So the Gemara asks, which one is it? The Gemara says 7 days, 6 days it's Rishus, 1 day Chova. Which day of Chova? Only the first day, only at night, based on the fact that for Erev Tochal Matzos. That's one machlokes. The old Amar Rav Eliezer, Mi shelo achal leile yom tov harishon, yashlim leile yom tov haachron. Somebody who did not eat, and we'll see what exactly this is. It's going to be a machlokes harishonim. What exactly is he talking about? But let's learn the pashtos. Somebody did not eat in the sukkah on the first night of sukkahs. So you know what he should do? He can make it up. On the 8th night of Sukkot. He can eat in the Sukkot then as a makeup. Ashmini Aseret. Obviously it's a difficult situation. The Chachamim Omrim, Ein L'Davat Hashlumin. Chachamim said, you didn't eat. There's nothing you can do. You can't make it up. V'alze ne'emar, Me'uvas lo yuchal l'skon, V'chisaron lo yuchal l'himanot. There are certain things that she says, you know, and either bottle. That's it. When it passes, there's nothing you can do about it. And here, once the first night expires, there is absolutely nothing that you can do to extend it beyond that time. And there was no such thing as tashlumin in relationship to making up a mitzvah, which is primarily the first night. What is that? Yes. Well, that's why a lot of Rishonim are not going to talk about, they're going to say, we'll see, the Gemara will talk about it, that it's not talking about the eating in the sukkah, it's talking about that you didn't eat a meal for Yontif. You're supposed to eat a meal on Yontif. I mean, you didn't eat a meal on Yontif, not that you didn't eat in the sukkah, so that maybe there might be tashlumin, just as for Korban Chagiga, that the Shmini Atzeres is considered tashlumin for the first 7 days. Not that there's a separate, independent chiyuv to be makif karbanos, karban chagiga. All right, we'll stop here, Rabotai, and we'll continue next avach.